So then, today is a great celebration, a great feast for us. And if we do have any tears, like I mentioned last night, they are not tears of sorrow, but tears of joy. That a saint has gone before our Lord Jesus Christ. He is now in his presence, worshiping him and rejoicing. He was not able to run in life, but he is now running before God. He was not able to speak here below, but now he speaks sacred words, and he will speak them forever. We have the Mass today is the Mass of the Holy Angels, and I read the Epistle in the Gospel for the Mass of the Angels, which is where Thomas is now in the presence of the angels at this time, and so we honor him along with the angels. And the Epistle of this Mass of the Angels is taken from the book of Apocalypse, chapter 5. In those days I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creatures and the ancients, and the number of them was thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "The Lamb that was slain is worthy to receive power and divinity and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and benediction. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard all saying, to him that sitteth on the throne and to the Lamb, benediction and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 ancients fell down on their faces and adored him that liveth forever and ever." And then the gospel is taken from that according to St. John chapter 1. At that time Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he saith to him, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." Nathanael saith to him, "Whence knowest thou me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered him and said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, thou believest. Greater things than these shalt thou see." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So today we receive a saint into the church, which is the purpose of our church, the purpose of our lives. And the beautiful considerations of the simple and sacred liturgy of the burial of a child, and the consideration of what the church does. In the sacred liturgy, I was reading through it, there is the focus on the divine praise. You know, the ancient Greeks, you know, our thought as Catholics come from the Greeks. Our way of doing things comes from the Romans. Our supernatural spirit comes from the Jews. And these are the three great fonts of our faith. But the Greeks were always the one that asked questions. Why are we here? What is our relationship to the gods, they would say? What is the purpose of man? And they determined, they asked themselves a question, what is the greatest thing that a man can do? And there was much debate about it amongst the ancient Greeks. And they said that man has a reason and he has free will, something that the other animals and the other members of the kingdom that we see on earth do not have. And we can see beauty. They saw that was the greatest thing about man's mind, is he could see beauty. He can see the order that God has created in the universe. The beautiful relationship between the sun and the stars and the trees and the grass and the mountains and men and all things. That all these things fit together in a beautiful harmony the way that God has arranged them. We see this beauty. What is the greatest thing that man can do? Said the ancient Greeks. The greatest thing that he can do is sing the praises of God. And they considered music so sacred that if you were caught in ancient Greece singing in the shower, you would be put to death. The music was a sacred communication between our humanity and God. And that what we were to do is we were to look around and see the beauty of the world that God has created and ask it to raise its heart, unite our hearts to it, and raise it up to God. And this is the spirit of the church in this sacred liturgy of today. We will conclude it as we walk back to the church with the hymn of the three young men in the fiery furnace. These three young men that were cast into that furnace by the king Nebuchadnezzar about 600 years before the coming of Christ. They were asked to worship a false god, a statue, a 60-foot statue of Nebuchadnezzar himself. And the king told them, if you worship this false god, I will not put you to death. But if you do not worship, when you hear the trumpet and when you hear the bells, if you do not worship this false god, I will throw you into the fiery furnace that is being prepared that you see over there. And Azariah, Misael, and Abednego, the three young men, they responded to the king, O king, do not bother to wait until the time that the bells ring. Don't bother to wait until the time that the trumpet sounds. For at no time will we worship your statue. We worship the true God. These boys were 12 years old when they spoke these words to the emperor. Three 12-year-old boys stood up. We will not praise a false God, for we praise only the true God. And our God is the only true God. And you may throw us into the furnace, but why waste time and wait until the time of the bells? Throw us now into the furnace, and we may burn. Yes, indeed, we may burn. But know, O king, we will not, our burning will come to an end, and one day you too shall burn. And the king was exceedingly angry, and he had the furnace heated 7 times more than it had already been heated. And with great haste, he had the soldiers to grab the three young men and to toss them into the midst of the furnace. And as they threw them into the furnace, the flames leaped out of the furnace and it consumed the soldiers that were casting them into the furnace. And it consumed the bonds that were on their hands, burned them to nothing. But no flame touched the three young men. And they fell in the midst of the furnace. When they landed in the midst of the furnace, the flames went around them and created a wall of fire around them. And the three young men stood up. And the church tells us that what they did is the purpose of man. They opened their eyes and they saw the fire. And they looked up and they saw the sky. And they felt the heat. And they began to sing. They sang a canticle, which used to be required for the priest to read 500 years ago at the end of every Mass. He would go back into the pews and he would read this canticle of the three young men. And he opens his eyes, these three young men, and they looked at the fire and they looked at the heat. And they saw that this fire and this heat was made by God. This fire and this heat had power that came from God, and it was to give him glory. And so they sang these words, fire and heat, praise the Lord. Sun and moon, praise the Lord. Ye clouds and ye birds of the air, praise the Lord. And the canticle went on for a very long time, and they thought of everything that they could imagine, and they told it to praise the Lord, the rocks, the mountains and the valleys, the waters of the ocean and the rivers, all living things, all non-living things. And finally, at the end of their canticle, they said, O Israel, O ye sons of men, you also praise the Lord. They recognize the purpose of existence. This world is beautiful, the one that God made. And its beauty is showing forth His greatness. And its beauty is for His glory. And those of us that have eyes, when we walk out of this church and we see the beauty of our mountains of Colorado, and we see the plains, and we see the sky and the clouds and the sun, we are to say the words of the three young men. Ye mountains and ye high places, praise the Lord. Ye clouds, praise the Lord. And remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord who was praised. On Palm Sunday, he was being praised by the children, the little children. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came up to him and said, how dare you let these children praise you as if you are the Son of God? And Jesus Christ responded to the Pharisees and he said, if these children did not praise me, the very rocks would cry out. St. Francis tells us the greatest mystery that he can contemplate. How is it the rocks know their God? The birds know for whom they sing. The trees know to where they lift up their arms and their leaves, but man knows not where his heart should be. All of these things are for the glory and the beauty of God. And today there is a perfect soul that is brought into his presence. And we stand in the presence of his body. He has lived out a perfect life by the dispensation of God. And now a consideration on sanctity, because we're all supposed to be saints. And this consideration on sanctity will take simply from Bishop Sheen, a part of his consideration of seven words. He says there are seven last words of Jesus Christ, which we're all familiar upon the cross. But there are also seven words of Mary contained in sacred scripture. And if we analyze the seven words of Christ on the cross, we find that they are a conversation with Mary. We will not go through all seven words, but only the second word. The second word of Jesus Christ and the second word of Mary, which refer to sanctity. The first word of Jesus Christ upon the cross, just to get past it, was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The first word of Mary contained in sacred scripture was when she spoke to the angel and she said, how can this be, since I do not know man? The Son of God is going to come to die for our sins, but how can this be? And the Lord responds, after he has become man, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. She accepts to be the mother. He then works out our salvation. And then the second word, the one we will consider here, the secret of sanctity. Thomas is a saint. And every one of us in this church today are being obliged by God. He told us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, be you perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We pray that every one of us, when we die, will enter into eternity and be with Mr. Thomas, to be with him in the presence of the angels and standing before God. And so the secret of sanctity, the second word of Jesus Christ to the thief, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. But how do we get there, says Bishop Sheen? We must go to the woman, and she will tell us how. Remember the thief when he hung upon that cross, as I've mentioned to you many times. Remember the geography of the cross, again from Bishop Sheen. That Jesus Christ hangs in the middle. And then to his right hangs the good thief, Saint Dismas, but he is nailed to the cross, and he cannot see Christ clearly because he is tied to that cross. He can't see him. But what does Dismas see? He sees the woman standing at the foot of the cross. He sees that she is a queen. He sees that she has some divine power inside of her. He sees the woman of sorrows. He sees her innocence. He sees her power. And when he sees that woman, he knows that the man whom he can barely see on the cross next to him is God. and that he has a kingdom, even if it looks as though his kingdom is at an end as he hangs upon the cross. For that woman has too much power. She has too much beauty. That he must be a king. And so the thief turns to our Lord Jesus Christ and he says, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And our Lord responds, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And Bishop Sheen responds, "But where is paradise?" Paradise is in her womb. For she brought paradise to earth. She is the one that will make us like little children. And unless we become like little children, we will not see Thomas in heaven. These words that I speak today are not for Thomas. He is singing to our Lord Jesus Christ right now. These words are for us, the rest of us that want to be with him when we go into eternity. And so we go to the second word of Mary. How do we come to be in his kingdom? Paradise was found in her womb. And so we go to the second word of Mary. When the angel Gabriel said to her, "The power of the Most High will overshadow thee. And God will become present in your womb if you accept to be the mother of God." And she said, "Fiat." The most sacred word ever spoken in history. And the most important, the one upon which our salvation hinges. Including the salvation of little Saint Thomas. The word fiat. Let it be done. That is her second word. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. This is the secret to sanctity. Many souls make the mistake, says Bishop Sheen, of believing that sanctity has to do with what we do and what we accomplish. Many praise the self-made man, he says, but the one who is better is the God-made man. And the God-made man is firstly Jesus Christ. But secondly, it is any soul that allows God to do his work inside of it. The one that says, "Let it be done," not the one that goes out and does everything. What did Mary do? She performed no miracle in her life on this earth. She preached no sermon. She simply said, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." And heaven came into her bosom. And then it went out into the whole world. And if we want to go to that heaven, we want to be a little child like St. Thomas today, then we need to go to our mother. And she will teach us how to become little children. And unless we become little children, unless we're able to say the word of Mary, "Let it be done," we all think we have the answers. We all think we know what we need to do. And then he says, Bishop Sheen, "It is a common American mistake that we believe we have done nothing if we have done nothing big. Everything we do has to be big. But we have done nothing if we have not opened our hearts to the divine love. We have done nothing if we have not let God do whatever he wishes with us." And as St. Teresa of the Child Jesus would say, "I am his little broom. And if he wants me to be in the closet leaning against the wall, I want to be in the closet leaning against the wall. If he wants me to take me out and sweep the floor, I want to be sweeping the floor. If he wants to put me back in the closet again, I want to be in the closet again. If he wants to throw me away, I want to be thrown away. I only want to be his little broom." Just whatever he wants. And we see the divine will. It was not our choice that Thomas be in an accident. It was not our choice that he be in the state in which he was, perfect innocence over the last 24 years. It was the choice of God. His choices make saints. Our choices do not. We adore his choices. The Blessed Virgin never questioned Christ, never questioned the angel. She simply adored and did His will. I know that if I become the mother of God, that He is going to die. He's going to be ripped away from me, and I'm going to be left behind. Whereas a thief is going to go up with Him in heaven. And I will have to stay behind 15 more years. She adored and she gave thanks. A thief beat Mary into heaven. How can it be? God is not just. God is not fair. So it seems to our foolish human thinking. But God only does that which is best. In order to become a saint, remember this truth, says Bishop Sheen. There are two parts of your life that you should not be worried about, the past and the future. Commend the past to the divine mercy. Commend the future to the divine providence. And in the present, say fiat. That is how we become little children. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Let God's will be done. At this moment, He wishes for us to be here in this church. In a few moments, He wishes for us to carry a little saint to a place where he will rest until his body rises from the dead. And he will be perfect. As St. Thomas says, at the age of 33, his mouth and tongue will be loosed. He will walk in the presence of God. He will walk this entire earth, body and soul. He will be, and he already is, eternally happy. We want to follow him. And if there is any vice that we have in our hearts today, it's envy. We envy the innocence of St. Thomas. We envy his happiness. And we cannot wait to join him. That is the only vice we're allowed to have today. And if we have tears, let them be tears of envy. Let them be tears of joy. We will all be reunited in heaven, but only if we become as little children. Pride will destroy us. But saying the words of Mary, the secret of sanctity, her second word, let it be done unto me according to thy word, and the whole world is transformed because God is all powerful. He does not need our help. He only wants us to be like a little pipe that he directs his power through. And all we have to do is empty all the impurities out of the pipe. Get ourselves out of ourselves. Make ourselves into an earthenware pot like the one we contemplated in the gospel last Sunday. Empty. And then Jesus Christ can tell the servants, fill this empty pot with water. Bring it to the chief steward. And somehow it changes from water into the best wine. How, we do not know. We only adore and give thanks to the divine ways. And our only job is to make ourselves empty of ourselves and let the grace and the love of Jesus Christ do the rest. And he will make each of us in this space into saints. Remember, we have two options. Sanctity or damnation. If we choose sanctity, it's happiness forever. Another statement of Bishop Sheen in his contemplation of the second word of Mary. It is a common mistake, he says, for us to believe that if we give our hearts to Christ, we will have nothing. We're afraid of giving ourselves away. But do you know that every single free choice is a gift of self? And that our freedom, our power to choose, as Bishop Sheen, is only to give ourselves to someone else. And so you can choose. Are you going to give yourself to drink? Are you going to give yourself to pleasure? Are you going to give yourself to creatures? Or are you going to give yourself to God? We will give ourselves to something. What is it going to be? And if we give ourselves to God, our life will become simple and innocent in the midst of a guilty world. We will see the beauties of all the things that God has made. We will see his divine plan and his divine workings, even in the crisis in the church as we have it now. and we have to say Mass in catacombs, we will find happiness in everyday life. Learn from your children, parents. Learn from the innocence of your children and imitate it. For unless we be as little children, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And only Mary can teach us to be as children. So in conclusion, we all want to become saints with Thomas. Let us become saints by availing ourselves of the gentle touch of the Mother of Christ. By availing ourselves to her love. By letting her lead us by the hand wherever she chooses to lead us. By grabbing onto her apron strings and doing whatever she wishes, playing in her sight, and doing all things under her mantle. And if we do this, we have only two choices. First, to live a happy life here on earth. And then secondly, to be eternally happy in heaven. And that is all that we want. So let's live for it. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then also, at the end of the Mass, I'm going to come and change back into the cope. I'll come out. Then the pallbearers will come and take the casket. And we will process in a joyful procession from here down to the cemetery, where there will be a blessing of the grave and so on. And then we'll process back, as I said before, into the church for a final prayer of thanksgiving that we've been able to commend a saint to God. Then that will mark the conclusion of the ceremony. And then all are invited downstairs for a little reception afterward. And then I did want to mention, meant to mention it at the beginning, but I mentioned last night that I think that God is blessed. We're here in Denver now, but God has blessed the Fort Collins parish very greatly, more than he has blessed our parish here in Denver. Of course, God has blessed us with a beautiful building here, but he has blessed us with saints in the Fort Collins parish. And I just want to mention to some of you, most of us know these little saints, but now in the last 10 years, there have been 5 saints that we have committed to the earth. And in fact, the burials that we have had in our Fort Collins parish, only 4 have been of sinners and 5 have been of saints. That's a blessing from God. And so we have in 94, Mr. Payden Brackenberry, infant, died 3 months in the kingdom of heaven. Mr. Andrew Kaysen in 95, a saint in the kingdom of heaven. And then Tyree Brackenberry, dying of cancer at the age of 4 years, saint in the kingdom of heaven. And then Miss Mary Beth Brackenberry, dying on the first day of her birth, baptized by the hands of her own father before she entered into the kingdom of heaven. And then today, Thomas Elo. 5 saints from our little parish. There have been vocations as well. God has blessed the Fort Collins parish greatly. He has blessed it very greatly. Let us answer to his blessing and follow these 5 little saints into the kingdom of heaven. Today we lay the 5th one to earth. And so let's all become saints. Remember that. We must all become saints. And God bless you all again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.